Praise the Lord. If you would, go to your Bible in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Hallelujah. While you're doing that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing your word. Thank you that you enlighten us. We have the Holy Spirit to gain understanding, to know what you're speaking to us. And Lord, let this word penetrate. God, I pray that just as you've given it to me and helped my understanding to a degree, that God, I'll be able to articulate your heart and what you've shown in this word. I pray for understanding. I pray for the light to be shined in the hearts of those hearing this teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3:16. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read out of a couple of translations. I just want to set the stage for just a little bit. 2 Timothy 3:16. Out of NIV, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking," the rebuke word. We're going to learn what that means. "Correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." It says all scripture, not some scripture, and not even some of the belief that's been going out there for a while that says that as long as it's God-inspired, I'll follow it. Only the scripture that's God-inspired. Well, the Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed. Let me read to you, you should be able to see it on your screen, the New Living Translation. "All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives." Now, that comes from the assumption that we have been wrong and the Word of God is here to teach us what is right. So it comes from the premise that we're starting from a foundation, which is our own rebellious nature. It's our own nature that God had to save. So the Bible is saying from the very beginning, from when you were born in iniquity, I'm assuming that you're walking and you're going to want to walk in self-dependence, self-reliance, so therefore you need the Word of God in order to train you. In order to correct that. So it corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what's right, and God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Who wants to do every good work? Everything that God has planned for your life. Do you want to walk in every promise that God has given for your life? The promise that God has given to your children, your grandchildren, your community, your family, your siblings, your parents, your coworkers. Do you want that for your life? What we're going to cover over the next several minutes is really three things. And I want to try to tie these three notions together. Number one is that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. The Bible is the infallible source of truth that we have in front of us. Secondly, is that Jesus himself has all authority. There is none greater than him. There's none like him. So he has all authority. And third, that the Word of God is living and active and is able to take care of our lives. So I want to take those three things, the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, God breathed to teach us and train us. He has all authority and that his Word is living and active in our life. As Claude Hood said this morning, it is not a passive situation, it is active. The Word of God is living and active in our life. We're gonna take a look at those and then come to a real conclusion. To give a sense of what Paul is saying here, and this is the last letter that Paul wrote, and it was to his dear friend Timothy that he was kind of passing on the baton, if you will. But look right above where in verse 16, where he says in verse 14, he's talking to Timothy, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." At the time Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the New Testament did not exist. So when he's referring to Scripture, he's referring to the left side of the Bible. And so the point here is all scripture points to Christ Jesus. Because Paul now says it's through salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, you've known from the sacred writings. That is all of the things back here that point to who Jesus is. It points to Christ. It points to his life. It points to his salvation that he meant for us. Again, as the word said this morning out of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he said, these things occurred back then so that you would have instruction today. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. These things occurred then to give us instruction for our life today. So all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God to teach us, to train us, etc. And that's what we're going to take a quick look at. So if you take a look at again in 2 Timothy, he talks about teaching. The scripture is for teaching. What God said here, the real definition of teaching here when he's talking about it is the same as he's saying that I will expand and give you understanding of what is divine truth. That's what teaching is. That is imparting the word, the very heart of God, and I'm going to impart unto you that which is divine truth. Truth that is only comes from Christ himself. Now, what I want to do is I want to read for you. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read for you a few verses, if you will, just out of Colossians. Wonderful revelation of Christ. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him hold all things together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure that all the fullness dwell in him. So when Paul talks about that scripture is inspired of God to teach us, it is Christ himself who is the word of God, who is imparted unto us to give us divine truth. It simply means that without this truth, we will continue to walk the way we've been walking. That's what it means. That without the word of God, then we'll continue to go in the direction that we naturally will always go in. That's our nature. That's who we are. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter, you have to be born again. He's also referring to, if you ever get a chance to go back and read 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, on into the 3rd, Paul warns Timothy. He warns him to accurately handle the word of truth so that you can give response to false doctrine. Because when man decides to go his own way, as we have before we got saved, man decides to go his own way, he will develop his own doctrine. Man will always develop and justify his own actions. He'll justify his own way of looking at things. That's our own dependence on self. That's what happened when man fell. We became dependent on self, self-reliant, self-governed, self-justification, selfish. That's what we've become. And so the word of God, when it comes to us, the teaching, the word that is inspired by God, when it comes to us, is to take that premise that's where I know you are, and I'm going to move you from here to here. I'm literally going to walk you from here, and you're going to step into the light. So teaching simply means that he's going to challenge false arguments with truth. And anything that comes in teaching or doctrine that is not Christ-centered is not of God. There's all kinds of things floating around in the body of Christ today. Not just here in this country, but all over the globe. There are doctrines out there that are born of man, taught of man, and are not Christ-centered. So the test is real simple. Does it glorify Christ? If it glorifies God, then you should pay attention to it. If it gives honor to him in whom all things were created, and all things are held together, the one who God said all the fullness of the Godhead will dwell in Christ Jesus. So if God is saying that, then that should be our litmus test. Because the word of God, through Jesus Christ is the gold standard. He is the standard. Do you follow me? It's the standard of his heart. So the Word of God, it always will bring proof of what the truth is. So that's what rebuking is. Teaching is simply expanding our understanding and give us divine truth and can challenge false arguments. Rebuking, and some translations is going to say reprove, but rebuking and reprove is not saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. How many times do you hear that? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I've heard that. When I hear the term rebuke, it raises a Christian, it says, oh my God, what have I done wrong? It's not what that means. Rebuking means that I am willing to bring the truth of what is God-breathed and God-inspired and will the truth that will set you free. I'm willing to set that before you so that you can then decide, will it come against your own false argument? Will it come against your own way of doing things? So rebuking and reproving simply means that it's a conviction based on evidence. And God is saying, I have the evidence. I know who I am. I know I'm able to set you free. And so when I give you a reproof or I give you a rebuke, it simply means that I am now going to give you proof of who I am. Proof that I am God. I know at one point in our life, I've been married to my lovely wife for almost 41 years. It'll be 41 years this October, praise God. Thank God. I was being reproved at one point. I was yelling at God. I got to the point where I had decided in my own way how I was going to do things. I got lifted up to the point where I'm pretty good at this stuff. I think I can do business well. I think I can study the Word of God. I went through a small Bible school. I was a leader. I think I can do this thing. I can go my own way. And as I begin to develop my own doctrine, my own way of doing things, my own selfishness, just got farther and farther away from the truth. And the Lord started speaking to me. He began to bring a reproving light. He began to bring the teaching and the correction. He began to bring proof that he is in my life. Proof to the point to where one day I'm out in the middle of the front yard and I am yelling at God. Are you happy now? Are you happy with my life? Are you happy with the circumstances in my life? At that point, everything had failed. Everything had failed. And I'm yelling to the point where, if you're not happy, I don't know what this is. And the proof was my wife started backing up. She said, boy, fire is going to come down from heaven. I'm not standing in the front yard because when the lightning hits, I'm going to be safe. I'm going with Jesus. I don't know about you. Praise God. My bride, thank God. The proof was, I said, if you're going to walk away from me, this must be pretty dangerous. I changed my tone pretty quick. God caused me to repent that day, actually. Thank God. But God says that I will give proof. Folks, when he uses the word rebuke and reprove, there's only one other term in the New Testament that word is used, and it's Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. The proof of things not seen. So when God is going to reprove me, he's actually saying, I am who I say I am, and I will do what I say I will do. I am God, I am faithful, I'm dependable, and you're not. But I will instill that in you. I know the way that you are. I created you. I know the problems that you have. I know your weaknesses. So I will take who I am and I will instill that in you and I'll prove to you that I am who I say I am. Because if God doesn't have the ability to do that, then we all will continue to walk in our own way. There will be nothing that changes us. There will be nothing that converts us. It will continue in the doctrine of man. We'll continue to be subject to deception. We'll continue to be subject to these winds of doctrines that swirl around. And folks, if you've been listening to this pulpit for any length of time, you know that there are things coming. There are things, doctrines of man, that have already changed laws. They've already changed the way that we look at things as a society. There are things that have occurred where we now call right wrong and wrong right. We celebrate sin to a certain degree. The Word of God says, I am going to prove that I am who I say I am and that I will do what I said I will do. In spite of everything going on around us, the Word of God is true, and the promises that He has made you, He will take care of. That is the promise of God. He will take care of the promise that He's made you. Thank God is for your children and for your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Coming to Him to be reproved is simply walking into the light. And He says that I am not human that I will lie. Jerry, when you come into the light, I'm going to expose your humanity. But I'm at the same time, I'm going to give you the knowledge that I am not a God who can lie. I'm not human. I can't speak and lie. If I say that I'm going to do something, I will do it. I'm not going to make a promise and not fulfill it. I'm not going to change my mind just because you have a problem. I am the standard by which you can always come to, praise God. Folks, there is a standard that you can always come to. It doesn't matter how far you go out over here to the right or how far you come to the left. You come back to the Word of God, you'll find it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has not changed. His love for you is still the same. His ability to fulfill His promise has never changed, and it never will, praise God. So to rebuke, He says, I'll do it because I love you, and it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. He's simply going to bring truth and put it over a false argument. He's going to combine that with teaching, and He's going to bring a reproof, an actual conviction that I am who I say I am, praise God. And correction just simply means I'm going to bring it back to straight. So you're still in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, right? You're in 3:16. He says that the Word of God is to teach you, it's to reprove you or rebuke you, or to bring correction. He will bring back to straight. That's what that means. It said, I'll simply take that which has been wandering out there, and I'm going to bring it back to the way that it was originally intended to be. When God created Adam and Eve, their relationship was perfect. There was no sin. When man sinned, we went off on the other way. So to correct means I'm going to bring you back to the way that it's always intended to go. You know, if you set a plane toward New York to Paris, if you're 1 degree off, you wind up in Barcelona. If you're just 1 degree off and never change your heading, you never correct your course heading, you'll wind up in a different country. We live out on a lake in northern New Jersey, and I have a boat, and I know when I set the bow of the boat, when I set that on a heading, and I don't adjust, I'll eventually, just because of the way the rudder is, it'll always veer to the right. So I have to keep my eye on what the heading is and set the front of it on it and adjust the steering all the time. If I ignore it and leave it alone, I'll wind up going in a big circle. That's what happens to us. You ever been around a mountain? I know what the feeling is. Hey, he's going around the mountain again. Stubborn, stubborn, stubborn. He's going around the mountain again. My children go around the mountains. Their father went around the mountain. If you don't correct the course, you will just continue to go around the mountain and you'll wind up back where you started. So correction is simply there to make it straight, make it back to where it was. So just think of bring back to straight. Praise God. It's our nature to stray. God knows that. And He's given us the training. That's the fourth part of 2 Timothy 3, right? So you've got teaching, you've got reproving, you've got correction. God is here to correct us in the right way and to give us the training needed. You know, when Paul refers to the whole armor of God, there are two areas of the armor that have always been of particular interest to me. It's the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Both are held in the hands. Everything else is just covering you against the attacks of the enemy. It's for your protection. But these two, one is to ward off a blow and the other one is to attack. When he told Timothy, you have to accurately handle the Word of God, he's saying, don't give in to any false doctrine. Don't give in to doctrine of man. Follow the Word of God. Follow the ancient teachings which were there to bring you to faith in Christ. So if that's what it is intended to do, I'm going to correct you to bring you there. So when we take on the armor of God, We have the sword of the Spirit in one hand. We have the shield of faith, and it's learning how to use those. Now, wouldn't you rather learn from the one who knows what he's doing? If you're going into a gymnasium and you're going to learn, or you're going to, you know, you're going to learn how to sword fight, wouldn't you rather learn from somebody that knows what they're doing? I would. If you then try to go on your own and say, no, you know, I don't need that instruction. I don't need that teaching. You decide to go sword fight on your own, you're likely to get killed. I mean, that's just the long and short of it. You go against somebody who's trained, whether you know how to use the shield or not, unless you are trained properly. The Word of God is intended to bring us training. Training. So when you combine teaching, I'm going to reprove you, I'm going to correct you, and I'm going to train you, I'm going to develop in you spiritual muscles that you've never had. I'm going to develop something in you that you don't have. To walk into the world that we're walking into today and the days ahead of us, as the pastors of this church have been teaching us, unless our muscles are prepared and trained, our spiritual muscles have gone through the training of the Word of God, we're going to have a very tough time when we get out there. We're going to go against a trained enemy. So Jesus is simply saying, I want to train you. I want to teach you. I want to train your muscles to do what's right. And if we go through the proper training, which means we're allowing God to train us in the right way, then when we get there, we'll know what we're doing. When I was a youngster, I was in Little League, and we had a, those of you who may have been in Little League, they had a thing called pepper training. Not pepper spray. Pepper training. And it was where you would stand there, and the coaches would just throw balls at you, and you're supposed to, with the bat, kind of bunt them off. You're trying to hit them back, and it's called pepper. And it was learning hand-eye coordination, and they would drill us in this, and drill us in this, and drill us in this, to where it was boring, to the point where, can I throw the ball for a while? No, I want you to keep on pepper training. I want you to learn how to do this. When I actually got to college and was playing ball in college, my coach, the first thing he said when I was playing the ball in the infield, he said, you must have been through pepper training. It was awesome. Because the things I learned when I was 6, 7, 8, and 9 years old, all of a sudden when you're 18 and 19, the muscles, the memory that you created, the training that you went through endured, and it was able to take into the next step. So all of a sudden, you know, you're just not 18 showing up and going to play that level of ball. You've got to come through training. Folks, the days we're coming into, we have to have our spiritual muscles trained. Amen? You have to stay in this Word. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it'd be interesting to see how many read the Word of God on a daily basis. And if somebody raised their hand, I'd say, well, like Claude Hood said this morning, we'll pray for the spirit of dishonesty. I can't say that I read the Word every day. I want to. And the days that I do, I know that I have the peace in my heart. I know that I'm training my muscle to do more that day. I'm more spiritually aware. I don't care if it's just Psalms and Proverbs, a book out of the New Testament, and maybe Ecclesiastes or something. But if you have the opportunity to read the Word on a daily basis, you're going to tighten your muscle, you're going to strengthen your muscle, and when the wiles of the enemy come up, you're able to raise your shield, and when God says attack, you can attack with the sword because you have it buried in your heart. God, your Word have I clung to in my heart. Praise God. It's awesome. Pepper training, remember that. Jesus himself said, my word will never pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, there again it means my teaching, will never pass away. And it simply means that it will always be faithful. Heaven and earth will pass away. And when that occurs, his teaching is still there. The Word of God is still there, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, it's dependable, it's forever, it's constant. And it's even something, if you've walked away from God, you can come back to because it's still there. Amen? The Word of God is still there. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. All authority. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, he said, all authority, when he came back to his disciples, that word authority, which is also in some of your Bibles says power, is not dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It's simply the word that says, I have, as Christ, what's been conferred upon me because of my life, my death, my burial, and my resurrection, I ascended to the right hand of God, and now I've come back, and I'm ready to save those who want to open their heart up to me. All authority has been given to me. Not you, me. Christ has all authority. And that means that I have, he's saying, the word there means I have the right to declare your freedom, and then I have the might to set you free. So I'm going to walk into your life, and I'm going to say, as God Almighty, as the fullness of the Godhead, as the one whom everything has been given to, I now have the right to speak into your life and say, I want you to be free. And you don't have to go, okay, great, fine. Because he then says, and I will set you free. I have the power to set you free. Because of what I did on the cross, I now have the ability to declare, regally have the ability to declare your freedom, and I have the power of my Father to set you free. Praise God. You got something bothering you? You come right into the light and into the reproving light and let God prove to you he is who he says he is. He will set you free. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. John starts his gospel out. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, so that without him, nothing that's made was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't overcome it. So John starts out and says, he is the Word. In verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know Christ himself is the Word. Amen? So if we agree that God's Word is the inspired Word of God, all authority has been given under Christ, and if I take his ability to say, I have the right and might to set you free, I'm going to teach you, reprove, and correct you, and train you in the way of righteousness, Jerry, for the days ahead, because my Word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Now get this. After he says that I have all right and power, he says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Folks, I'm so excited about this. When I was just looking at this, the word living, of course, means alive. It's Zoe. It's alive. It's not dormant. It's actually alive and moving around. Active means that there is an active ingredient in the person of Jesus Christ so that when it's unleashed into your life, it will accomplish what he said he will accomplish. There is, you ever looked at medicine when you go to get a prescription or you know, what's the active ingredient? What makes it work? Jesus Christ is the active ingredient. He is where it says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and is so surgically sharp it's able to divide bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's because he is supernatural. He's not natural, as we heard this morning. Thank God. Because if he was natural, I'm just now subject to the doctrine of men. If he's natural, I'm now subject to your interpretation of what the word says. But God is supernatural. He is the only one who has been conferred all power, all authority, so that he can speak into my life. And all of a sudden, so Christ becomes the active ingredient. He is before all things. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All authority been granted to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Folks, this now becomes the dunamis of God. This becomes the power of God. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when he becomes alive in your life, there is power that breaks things free. There's power that sets you free. It's the power of prayer that keeps your children and your grandchildren. In spite of what you see, God's promise is true if what we just read is true. Amen? And I believe it. I believe that from Genesis to Revelation, as Paul said, that all scripture is inspired by God. So therefore, a promise that God makes you is true. And only he can refute it. Praise the Lord. I believe it. My friend, freedom of God's word comes through faith. It comes through being convinced and being proven by God himself that he is who he says. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you know what he said, you'll begin to accept what he did. If you accept what he did, you begin to know who he is, and you'll want to become his disciple. It's the unswerving character and nature of God that doesn't change. Because when he says that I am a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, folks, it's not to be a gotcha moment. It's not for a big God who sits on a throne waiting for you to make a mistake to go, gotcha. I knew you were going to blow it. That's not what is there. It's there for, it's for us so we can have the aha moment where we can go, ah, that's what you mean. That's what that word means for me. That's the freedom you're talking about. God's not trying to get anybody, okay? Because of our nature and our own decisions, we've already decided which way we were headed. God just says, I want to correct it. I want to bring it back into what I know is right and truthful and honest for you. Praise God. Thank God. I'm going to wrap up referencing Peter, who one of my favorite characters of the Bible. Peter said that you've been born again by something which is imperishable. Not perishable, imperishable. It can't fade. It can't diminish. And it says it's the enduring word of God. Enduring means it can withstand the heat. Rather than us just going into the fire, it means that God's word can stand the heat of your life. Get that. God's word can stand the heat of your moment. He can withstand the fiery furnace of your own heart when you're in resistance with God. So here's the question. Do you want to be shaped by God for tomorrow and the things that we're going to be facing as the body of Christ? Do you want to be shaped by God or do you want to debate God? It's okay to do either one. I want to be shaped by God. I want to be shaped by the word of what it says that is important for my life. Because I've already proven I don't know how. I proved while I was, before I got saved, the decisions I was capable of. And all of us have been. I'd rather be shaped by the one who knows what he's doing, by the one whose gold standard I can always look to be faithful and dependable, by the one who is willing and able to fight for me and set me free. Is that who you want to be shaped by? Praise God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Folks, we've heard from all of our pastors who have been preaching over the last several years, in particular months, what's coming. Our strength is under pressure, but the word of God will endure. We know that. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Do you believe that? Yes. Do you need that? Do you need that? There's some of you here today that just say, I need a touch from God. I need to have the reproving light of God in my life. What I'd like to do is when you make a kind of a general altar call, it could be full. I just want you just to, if you need that, just raise your hand. As the music plays, what I simply want you to do, just say, God, I need the light of God. I need a renewal in my life. I need the renewal in my heart. I need a renewal to want to get into the Word of God. I want to look at it on a regular basis. I want to study the Word. I want you to speak into my life. It's time for this book to read me instead of you read it. Amen? Let the Word of God read your heart. If you'll do that just for the next couple minutes, just right where you're standing, in your own way, if you want to raise your hand, you can. If not, God knows your heart. And to say, I want the teaching and the correction of God. I want to be taught by the Word of God. If that's you, then let God sweep over your heart right now just for the next minute. Oh, God, are you desperate for God? Desperate for His Word, His promise? To you. Many of you need God to re-speak His promises into your life. The inspired Word of God, inspired for you, that He would speak right into your heart. You just pray with me. Just God knows your heart right now. We're just going to pray. and let the Lord do something so wonderful right now in your heart, right where you stand. Folks, he is living and active, moving right now among you to reach out and touch you, to say, it's okay, I got you. He has you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for every person who's here, who's hearing online. Oh God, let your word be rich in understanding right now in the name of Jesus. Let the revelation of Christ come into every heart. Oh God, restate the promises that you've made that are forever, that are for everlasting, and they'll never fade. They'll never move away. God, we're asking now in Jesus' name, renew, restore, regenerate, revive through the teaching, the reproving, the training of the Word of God right now, Lord. People that have, what the Word they've heard, bring it back into their remembrance. Bring it back from the days of old. Bring it back from when they were young children, Lord, maybe at their grandmother's feet. Bring the Word of God back into their heart and understanding to know what your promises are. Make new promises right now, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we're asking right now for the body of Christ. Lord, as we stand together as one body, we ask for the presence of Almighty God through the fullness of who you gave to Jesus Christ. We're asking it through the move of the Holy Spirit to renew us, Lord. And we give you thanks in your wonderful name, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Amen. Amen.